Have you all noticed how many signs there are up about praying right now? You go by and you'll see a sign, pray, or pray for the USA, or pray for the victims. It seems like everywhere we go and everywhere we turn right now, we're being asked to pray. I'm even a part of a dog list where prayer requests, they have come across for the victims and for the people and for the situation and for the world and even for the search and rescue dogs that were going through the debris. Certainly, as a nation, our mind has at this point very much turned to prayer. And possibly because we are people of prayer as Christians, some of you might be kind of thinking some of the same things of, we've been praying all along, and prayer is so much a part of our life that it seems, I don't know, a bit sad that it takes such a huge tragedy to let other people know that they can be praying. That all of the things that go on in our lives are things that we can take to God in prayer. That God has been there every day, every year, waiting to hear our prayers, waiting to hear the prayers of this nation. And yet it seems to be just at this time that many people are perhaps praying for the first time in their life, or returning to prayer after a very long sabbatical. Harry Emerson Fosdick, which was a great preacher of years past, gives a wonderful illustration of perhaps the reasons that as a people we don't really appreciate and utilize the privilege of prayer that we have. That perhaps because God is always there 24/7, never abandoning us no matter what the need, no matter what the time, no matter how long we've been away, always there to hear our prayers, we always think there'll be time to pray. We don't appreciate it because it's so available and so accessible that we've forgotten that it was a privilege to be able to pray. Perhaps, he says, if prayer was more like a once in a 25-year occasion, we would begin to see the incredible opportunity and privilege this is. Perhaps if prayer was like this special door at the Vatican, it is bricked over and marked with a cross. And it is only entered through by the Pope and the procession once every 25 years on Christmas Eve. Because there is only one chance every 25 years, it is treated with such solemn respect, such joy, and such sense of occasion. The Pope steps up to the door and uses a silver hammer, which he taps on the door 3 times, and the bricks fall away. And then the procession goes through this passageway to the altar. This passageway that some of them probably have never used in their lifetime. And others will probably have a maximum chance of using it 3, maybe just 2 times in their entire lifetime. What if prayer was like that for us? What if it had been 10 years since we had had an opportunity to go to God in prayer? What if we were sitting here waiting for 15 more years to pass before we could enter the altar of God and share our needs, our heartfelt desires, our concerns, and our joys and our thanksgiving? Certainly, we would realize what a special privilege it was. But certainly we would be much the less. For prayer is something that we need constantly. We need to be with God in prayer. Perhaps there is some truth to the fact that when it's always accessible, we always think there will be time, we don't realize what a huge privilege it is. That because the door is opened 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we don't realize that our doorway to God for prayer is more special than that very special door used only once in every 25 years to ascend to the altar on a special Christmas Eve, that our doorway to God in prayer is even more holy and more special than that. The Scripture says that we should go to God with supplications. Now, supplications is really a word that is addressing the fact that we should go to God with our needs. That prayer begins with our need of prayer. We have a need to be in prayer with God. And that we are privileged to go to God with our needs. While a supplication holds a sense of needs in the broader sense of that, our needs that we could share with another individual or that we could choose to share with God, the word there in the Greek for prayer is really a much deeper sense of need. Those needs that we have that only God can address. Now, if there has been any other point in our life where we have known, there's been so many other points in my life where I have known that my needs could not be met by anyone but God. And to think that God invites us to come to God with those needs. We are also called to go to God with intercession. And while intercession is often sensed, that sense of praying for others, that we could not, in ways that they could not pray for themselves, petitions is another word that can be used here, and sometimes is in some translations. And the word that really goes back to in Greek is a very special word. It's a word about intimate conversation. Very intimate conversation. It's a word that goes back to that sense of that intimate conversation that only a few are allowed to have with a king. That kind of being able to take your petitions to the king directly. Now that is a huge privilege, and to be able to talk intimately with the king about the issues and the needs. That is not something that many of us have. Perhaps as a child or at some point in history, you thought, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to just sit down with the President of the United States and have an intimate conversation? To be on the cabinet and to have the President's ear. Or perhaps you've been more enamored with the royalty in England, and to be a person that could sit down and have an intimate conversation with the Queen of England. To have the Queen's ear and to be able to influence her and to share your ideas with her and to let her know what's going on in her life and for her to personally address that. Presidents of the United States, Queens of England, that's not anything. We have the privilege, according to Scripture, of having the ear of God. The Creator of the universe allows us to have that intimate conversation, to come in close and to share those things which are heavy on our heart in a personal way. I don't even know that I have the words to communicate how profound I find that. That God, the Creator of the universe, says, come, sit down with me, and let's have a heart-to-heart. That is incredible. We are also called, though, to give prayers of thanksgiving. Now, we've heard people joke about, you know, that God is not the great Santa Claus or the great Sears store in the sky, and that prayer should not be our long list, you know, should not be like a letter to Santa. You know, I want a new Ferrari, and I'd really like a $300,000 house. And it would be great if it was in the Bahamas and those kinds of things. Now, we laugh about that, and we don't do that. No, I don't think there's a person in this congregation whose prayer life sounds anything like a letter to Santa Claus. Probably more of us need to take more seriously the kinds of things we can ask God for. We probably need to do that. We probably need to take more seriously that God cares about even the smallest, silliest thing. And I'm probably going to cry when I tell you this. But God even cares about the fact that on Tuesday, I'm going to find out whether my German Shepherd has cancer or not. And whether I'm going to lose her. And that's nothing compared to what's going on in this world. That's nothing compared to what Linda is dealing with Dennis. That is nothing compared to what the McCoy family is dealing with. But God cares about that for me. And I was so thrilled when Pat shared about, you know, let's pray about Carter and daycare. Because God cares about those things. Every little piece is important to God. But I think that many of us, in spite of that, sometimes don't go to God with some of the things we could. And it would be my encouragement for you to go to God with even more. There's another part of prayer, though, besides going to God with our needs and our hurts and our pains. And that's going to God with thanksgiving. And the fact we need to thank God should not limit any of that other part. It's a both and, not an either or. It's not either thank God or ask God for things or share your pain with God. It's all of the above. In thanking God, there's a scripture that talks about thanking God in all things. And that's really difficult to do. It is easier if this kind of bringing thanksgiving into your prayer is a new thing. It's easier to begin with those things that you really honestly have a joyful heart of thanksgiving for. I think of Mike because Mike always has a word of thanksgiving about just the fact it's a beautiful day. And perhaps that's because you guys almost lost Mike in a motorcycle accident, and he knows that every single day is a gift. And he remembers every Sunday to thank God for that. I think that's amazing. And that reminds me of the importance of thanksgiving in our prayer life and in our hearts. But the amazing thing about going to God in thanksgiving prayer, and I know this personally to be true and still don't practice it enough, is that when my heart is heaviest, when the skies seem blackest, and when there seems least in my life to be thankful for, that is when I need to thank God the most. Not because God needs to hear it, but because there is something powerful about praising and thanking God that brings joy and thanksgiving into our lives. As hard as it is to sometimes think of anything to be thankful for, to just begin with that one word, God, I am thankful you are still here. I am thankful you love me. Start with the stuff you know is true. I am thankful our world is still here. I am thankful for my kids. I'm thankful you love them. And just that thanksgiving will pull you forward. And you'll be amazed at what you, as you practice the prayer of thanksgiving, what you can find yourself thankful for. You'll be amazed that you can thank God for things that you thought were a curse. You can thank God that you know that God is in it with you and that you are growing through it. And that somehow, in God's vast knowledge and great sense of time, God will do something amazing in your life through this, even if it's something that is outside of God's will. Certainly, as we're looking at the world situation, it is not God's will. And I cannot say this strong enough, that people would act in such violent ways towards other people. It is not God's will that the trade towers fell. It is not God's will that the Pentagon was struck by a plane. It's not God's will that those people died in that kind of anguish. And yet, we can thank God that God is here with us and has not abandoned us in our moment of need and pain. We can thank God that God is with each of those families that are suffering. We can thank God that God is with our world leaders. We can thank God that in some unimaginable way, God will use what is going on in our world to bring good, because God can redeem anything. I think possibly the next part is the hardest, because it says, and all of these things that I've talked about need to be done for everyone. Everyone. You know, John Wesley used to say, the world is my parish. It is hard to comprehend the number of people in this world who need prayer. I am always impressed when we do this prayer time, how many people you all are capable of remembering about and praying for and caring for. co-workers, neighbors, friends, acquaintances. Your world of prayer in this church is much larger than I think you realize. And that is to be appreciated, I think, by this community, by your co-workers, and I know it's appreciated by God. But even so, we need to stretch our prayer life beyond those people we know, beyond those people we care about and who care about us. Jesus said many times in the Gospels in many different ways, what good is it to care about, to be good to those who are good to you? And it says, even tax collectors do that. And if you remember, tax collectors were the bottom of things. We might say, even bin Laden does that. I mean, even bin Laden is able to be good to the people who are good to him. Come on, what's that? We are called to stretch ourselves and return good for evil. Pray for those who persecute us. Pray for our enemies. That's hard stuff. And if you think that that is not what the author means in here, he goes on to say one of those groups we really especially need to be in prayer for is the kings and those people in power. I want you to think about when this was written. Who was the king and who was in power? It was the Caesars in Rome. The Caesars in Rome, at this point, were not real appreciative of Christianity. At least, they ignored it. At the least. At the most, they systematically tried to eradicate it. Asking to pray for the kings and leaders of the world was not asking to pray for those people they'd chosen to put in power. I mean, we complain when we got a Democratic president and we're Republican that we got to pray for that, you know, goober, you know. And if it's the other way around, we're like, you know, we didn't put him in office. We didn't vote for him. Why should I pray for him? We complain over whether it's a Democratic or Republican president. We complain over whether our particular vote was for that person. And in Timothy, we're reading that they were called to pray for kings that wanted to kill them. I think we have a lot of stretching to do here, an awful lot of stretching, and praying for those leaders of this world, because there is a person who has a definite leadership position who I know all of us are going to have a really difficult time praying for. That man's name is bin Laden. But if anybody needs our prayers right now, it's him. Why does he need our prayers? Go on to read. So that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodliness and dignity. Praying for those who persecute us, praying for the leaders of this world, praying for all of those who are in power is so important because we live in a world system. Even if our leaders are righteous and do the godly thing, and that's often a stretch to say, other world leaders can impact our lives so much. We need to be praying for them. This is right and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires for everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of full truth. Part of what we need to be praying for these world leaders are they would come to know God. For even bin Laden is somebody that God would like to know the truth, that he loves him, would love to see him repent, and come to know the truth in Jesus Christ. Do you think it's likely? You might sit there and shake your heads, but we've been talking in Sunday school about a man named Saul, who used to kill Christians because he thought it was the right thing to do. His understanding of God was Christians were evil people who were distorting the true religion. Does any of this sound familiar to what we're hearing in world news today? And yet there's a person in the Bible that was true about? And yet this same Saul, on the road to Damascus, met Jesus Christ. He'll later change his name to Paul. He'll be the one who, we're believed, wrote 1 Timothy, or at least a student of his. A man who used to kill Christians because he thought it was God's will becomes the champion of the faith. Don't underestimate the power of God. Don't underestimate the ability of God to answer prayers. Because I have got to believe there were Christians everywhere praying what Jesus had taught them to pray for their enemies and for those who had persecuted them. And I believe because of their prayers, as well as because of the just vast grace of God, Paul got a chance to be Paul. He got a chance to know Jesus and to become one of the greatest missionaries in all history. He becomes the one who shares the faith with the Gentiles most profoundly. And he is the reason you and I are Christians today. Let us take some time to go to God in prayer. Lord, as our nation is calling us to pray, let us remember that this is not the only time or the only place that we can pray, or the only event we can pray over, but that you are there for us every moment, every day. We can pray continually. We can bring our entire lives and our entire world to your throne. We can sit with you and have intimate conversation. Oh, Lord, and teach us to sit there and listen as well, that we might hear back the things you have to say to us. Let our hearts be full of thanksgiving for your presence in our lives. And let our prayers be full of the names of people we love and the names of people that do not love us, that we might fulfill your kingdom in this world, that we might show your love, and one more person might come to know you. Lord, we pray for bin Laden today. We know that he does not know the truth about your love, and that his acts of violence sadden you greatly. He is a man, Lord, that is very hard for me to think about praying in any way, shape, or form. It would be much easier to be asking you to eliminate him. And yet, Lord, I know it's what you call me to do. So I would ask that if there is any way possible, that there is someone in his world that has some influence on him about the love of Christ, that somehow that would break through. If there's anyone in his world that has influence and understanding, they would give him a chance to change course and become a person that could serve you. Lord, we praise your name. And we come to you in this moment knowing that you listen. Amen.